I ask you to turn with me to the book of John, chapter 12. John chapter 12. This is after the resurrection of Lazarus from the dead, when Jesus went to his tomb and called him out by name, and Lazarus came forth alive. And we don't know how much time transpired from that time until chapter 12, but a matter of time did pass from between those two. And Jesus is now on his journey back to Jerusalem for that final time, the time when he would be offered up as a sacrificial lamb, as the Lamb of God unto the Father for our sins. So as he's on his way, he stops off at this place that he's been many times. We know at least three times that he was there, but I believe he went there often. I believe it was a safe haven for Jesus to go to the house of Lazarus and Mary and Martha. And so he's going back to that house now. He's going back to Bethany. So we pick it up, John chapter 12. I want to read the first three verses. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Would you join your hearts with me in prayer, please? Heavenly Father, we bow before you this morning. It's a beautiful morning that you've given to us. We thank you for the privilege to be able to come together in this house of prayer, in this place that has been dedicated to the true worship of you who are the only true and living God. But Father, we confess to you as we come before your presence that unless your Holy Spirit would guide and direct us, unless that he would bless us to be able to from our very hearts express our love and devotion unto you, and unless that he would empower us to be able to worship and praise you, that Lord, we're incapable of our own selves to be able to do that. But Father, we pray your Holy Spirit would just move among our hearts and among our minds. Draw us, Lord, into your presence in such a way that as we can think upon these things that I have on my heart today, that it will feed our souls, and that, Lord, we will have our cups even overflowing with the blessings of your fellowship and your love and grace upon us. Lord, I ask for preaching grace that I might be able to speak clearly and distinctly those things that you've laid upon my heart, that you would receive glory, and that each one of us would be strengthened through your holy word. I ask it in the precious name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and amen. A lot of things that could be brought out in these three verses of Scripture, and I'll try not to get so caught up with the things that I don't get to what I want to talk about today. But I want us to see the occasion. First of all, Jesus knows what's going to happen to him within 6 days from that point. He knows that the suffering that he's going to have to endure. I've said this to y'all many times, but when I begin to talk about Jesus, the man, I start kind of stuttering and stammering because I know that he's God in flesh, but also know that he was 100% man. So it seems to me that maybe he stopped off at Bethany as a place of comfort, a place of encouragement, which he received, a place of just being able to get away for just a little while. Do you ever feel that way? That you just need to get away. If just for a little while, that we can be able to be refreshed and renewed and revived. Maybe it's before something that we know is coming in our life that we just need to have that refreshing in our lives so that we can meet it head on, whatever that it might be. Jesus went to this home, went to this place where that he had been there before. He had eaten at their table before. But there's some things that are mentioned in these three verses that stand out in the way that I look at it. One was in verse 2. There's two things in verse 2. One is Martha's mentioned. You remember another time when Martha was mentioned in this same house? Jesus was, I have him pictured seated in the living room, and I picture Mary in the living room with him, and I picture Martha in the kitchen. And Martha is busy, 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 busy. She's cooking. She's trying to set the table to make it just right. And all of a sudden, I can just picture her looking around the corner and saying, Mary, you need to get in here with me. But she didn't say that, but rather she went to Jesus and said, I'm cumbered. I'm tired. I'm doing all the work, and Mary's just sitting here. I want you to have her come and help me. And Jesus looked at her and said, Martha, Martha. I can just hear that voice too, can't you? Martha, Martha, you're cumbered about many things, but Mary has chosen that one thing that is most needful. She was sitting at the feet of Jesus, and she was learning, and she was being fed already from Jesus. So, but in this second verse, there's three words. In my Bible, it's on the second line of the second verse, and that is, and Martha served. I don't hear her saying a word. I don't hear her saying, why isn't Mary helping me? I don't hear her saying, I'm tired. I think she may even be humming a song at this time. She may be humming, Oh, How I Love Jesus, or Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. I know they wasn't written back then. But there was something about her that was different from before. Do you think it might have something to do with the fact that she had witnessed what Jesus had done, whatever time previous it was to that, when he stood outside the tomb of Lazarus and said, Lazarus, come forth? That she was made to realize indeed that what Jesus had said to her was the absolute truth when he said, I am the resurrection and the life. And he spoke life into Lazarus, and Lazarus came out of the grave. Martha, I believe, had that, and she was filled with gratitude and with joy, and she was rejoicing. It was well with her soul because of what Jesus had done in her family, in her life, and she was just more than willing. And Martha served. That just stands out to me, that Martha served. In other words, wasn't anything negative about her that day. And Lazarus. Lazarus was seated at the table. Lazarus was there as Jesus was the guest of honor. But Lazarus was there in a place where that he was recognized. He was seated at the table with Jesus. And of course in verse 3, Mary comes in. And Mary has this ointment that she anoints the feet of Jesus, and she dries his feet with her hair. It's my understanding that pound of spikenard cost about a year's worth of wages. But she didn't hold anything back. In another account, it says that she broke the top off of it. In other words, she wasn't going to put that lid back on and save some for later. It was all for Jesus. That's the setting. That's not what I want to preach about this morning. If I had a title, it would be Come and Dine. Come and Dine. And as I go through this message, I want to ask each one of us, myself at the very top of the list, not to try to use our imagination to picture what's going on, but to use our faith to understand that as we're seated here this morning, this is what's going on. We are here to dine from the Master's table. If the Lord will enable me and bless me to be able to serve you, what a blessing that would be for me to be able to just serve each one of you the things that I want to share with you this morning. So please don't use your imagination, but by faith, come with me and let's go to the Master's table. Let's sit down with Jesus right now, okay? Put anything else that might be in your mind, just lay it down outside. You can pick it back up if you have to when you go out. But just for a little while, lay it down and focus our hearts and our minds upon Jesus and upon the table that is spread before us this morning. In the Song of Solomon is a verse of Scripture that I know I say this every year, every week whenever I mention a verse of Scripture. But this is a verse of Scripture that I love, and for right now it's my favorite verse of the Scripture in the Bible. And that is Song of Solomon chapter 2 and verse 4. You don't have to turn there. But just again, this is the setting. He brought me to the banqueting house. Would you agree with me this morning that the Lord brought you here? That the Lord led us to be at this place, at this moment, at this time, right now. Now, that's not always been true in my life. I was drugged to church every Sunday. We were the drug generation, right? We were drugged to church on Sunday morning. But this morning, I wasn't drugged here. I was brought. I was led here by the Holy Spirit of God. Yes, that thought came in my mind, boy, this bed feels really good when the alarm went off this morning. And I did lay there for 30 extra minutes. But there was something that said, get up, get out of bed. This is the day the Lord has made, and you're going to rejoice and be glad in it because you're being brought to the banqueting house. Now, I've been in situations where that I was at a particular banquet. Sometimes we would have the Thanksgiving banquet here the week before Thanksgiving. And what a wonderful time it was. We were brought into the dining room, the banqueting room, and we'd sit down and a delicious meal would be served to us. I remember going back the way before that, my senior year in high school, the senior banquet. We would go went to this restaurant and there was a room that was set up for us and we went in and sat down and a great meal was served. A lot of times I've been at different banquetings in rooms. But this didn't say he brought me to the banqueting room. He brought me to the banqueting house. That's even bigger. That's even better than having a room. When we were at Brooklyn Church, there was a steakhouse that's no longer there in Statesboro called RJ's. And every Christmas, we'd have a Christmas banquet in the banqueting room. But there was a lot of space that was, other people were there that had no idea what was going on in that banqueting room. But in this house, in this banqueting house that the Lord brings us, so He brought me to the banqueting house, and it's filled. I realize today a lot of our people are either traveling or something's happening with them. They're not able to be here. But this banqueting house is filled. And this morning, though we may have some empty pews, can I tell you that we're seated together with some pretty neat people, with some wonderful people. I'm going to go through a list of some of them in just a moment. But right now, I just want us to get the festivity of the moment that we are in the banqueting house with the Lord. And again, don't use your imagination. By faith, know that you're seated in that banqueting house right now. Right now, you're seated at the table of the Lord, brought to the banqueting house. I know I'm bouncing back and forth. Do you remember senior prom? You remember ours was in the gymnasium, and no offense, but it was before the days of limousine. You got there the best you could. Sometimes it was mom and daddy took you there and came back and picked you up. But when you walked into the gymnasium, the very first thing that you saw was there was a banner, and that banner said the theme of the prom. The theme of what everything was pointed toward, that one theme. And I'm reminiscing this morning just a little bit, but bear with me. Because when the Lord brings us into His banqueting house, there also is a banner. And as soon as right now, by faith, you can see that banner over my head, back against this wall, or wherever you want to see it, there is a banner that's over you right now, and there's one word that's on that banner. And that is love. God loves you unconditionally. And He brought you to this banqueting house to show you His love and His grace and His mercy. Do you ever need reminding of that? I mentioned about Jesus going to this house because this house was filled with love. I think that house was a banqueting house for Jesus, not just because of the food that was put on the table, but the other things that I'm going to mention in a few moments. I hope I'm making you hungry for those things. One time I preached a message on water, and I had everybody licking their lips before it's over with. I hope your stomachs will start growling. I hope your heart will start growling for the things that I'm going to share with you in just a moment. That banner is love, and what the first thing that you see, the first thing that you notice, is the love of God is in that house. Do you ever experience that when you walk in these doors, whichever door you come in? I know you do. I see it every Sunday. I see it every time we come together. And I thank God for it. That the banner over us when we walk into this house, into this place, is love. Yes, a love for Jesus and a love for one another. It's here. We're in the banqueting house. We're not imagining that, are we? It's the truth. We're in the banqueting house of God right now. And I hope that you're feeling the warmth of His love as He's surrounding you right this minute. I do. I feel it every Sunday when I come in here. I feel it every Wednesday night. The laughter and the love and the learning. It's here. He has brought us to the banqueting house this morning, and there is a banner over every one of us. And I hope you keep looking up at that banner, looking up at that banner. Oh, how much God loves me. Oh, how I love Jesus. But why? Because He first loved me. His banner over me is love. That's the first thing that you see. It's the first thing that you notice. I was going through my notes this morning and I saw where I had written that the other day as I was going through them. And I thought, wait a minute, there's one that you see before that, the banner, and that is Jesus Himself. But He's the one that's brought us. So we saw Him before we got here, I hope. We're going to the Lord's house. We're going to His banqueting house. So when I say that's the first thing that you see, Jesus has us by the arm and He's bringing us in. He's escorting us into the banqueting house. So the first thing that we see, we've already seen Jesus. And I'm not in any way demeaning that. But we see why we're here. Because He loves us. His banner over me was love. And you enter the first thought of, Lord, I thank You. I just thank You so much for bringing me here. I have expressed that so many times. I hope to each of you, I hope from this pulpit I've made it known that I'm so thankful that God brought me here to this banqueting house, to this place where the love of God is seen and experienced every time that we're together. It's here, it's in this place. Lord, I thank You for bringing me here, but I just have to confess to You, Lord, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to even partake. And He says, but wait a minute. I made You worthy. You see, in and of ourselves, we're not. But because of the love of Christ that's been bestowed upon us, His banner over us is love, He says, you're worthy because you're with Me. He is our worth. So don't ever put down the worthiness of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. And I know you don't. But how do I say this? Let me just say it. Sometimes I've known people in my life that seemed to be their theme song is I'm not worthy. And I love that song, Unworthy. I love that song. But listen, if all we focus on is our unworthiness, we're missing something. We're missing the worthiness of our Lord. We're missing the righteousness of His blood. We're missing the fellowship of the Holy Spirit who has brought us to this place and revealed to us just how in our unworthiness, Christ still died for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. And He brought us to the Father through His righteous and holy blood. So, my first thought is, Lord, I'm not worthy to be here. And yet at the same time, I have to say, though I'm not worthy, I'm with the One who is. So therefore, I take my mind off of myself and I place it on Jesus. And I see Him. I see Him in His glory. I see Him in His majesty. I'm trying to think of the preacher's name on television. Last name is Evans. Tony Evans. Years ago, he was the chaplain for the Dallas Mavericks. And he would go, and he had to take a friend with him to the ball games. I'm not getting off subject, I promise you. He would take a friend with him to the ball games, and the friend, if they would approach the arena, they would say, "Well, where are we going to park?" And Tony would say, "Well, we're going to park right here next to the building." He said, "Are we supposed to park there?" He said, "I've never been able to park that close to the building before in my life." He said, "You're with me." He said, and then the man said, "Well, how are we going to get into the building?" And there was this door that said, "Players only, personnel only." And Tony walked toward that door, and the man said, "Are we supposed to go in that door?" And he said, "You're with me." And they went in the door. And the man said, Where are we going to sit?" And Tony began to take him right down, right the row right behind the team. He said, Can we sit here this close?" Tony said, "You're with me." This morning, if there's any thoughts going through mind that, am I really supposed to be here? And I'm going to take that a step farther. If there's anyone that has a thought of, I'm not worthy to even be a member of the church, can I tell you something? You're with Jesus. So therefore you are worthy. He brought me to His banqueting house. And His banner over me was, "I love you. I love you. I love you unconditionally. You're with me." And I realized that hopefully this will go right with what I'm saying. And there's a parable that Jesus taught about when you're invited to the banquet. And He says, when you go in, don't take the highest seat, but take the lowest. And then I'll raise you up. I'll lift you up to that place. Because he that humbles himself shall be lifted up. So, I'm not saying don't come in such a way of saying, "Well, I'm just worthy to be here. Lord, you're just blessed that I'm here with you today." Don't come with that at you. No, you don't. But come with that thought of, "I'm with Jesus. I'm with Jesus." And so therefore, I can enter with a smile. I can enter with a heart that is filled with love and gratitude. I am filled with the very presence of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. Because He loves me. So when you enter in, what's the second thing you see? I'm going back to my senior prom now. I walked in the gymnasium. First thing I saw was the banner. But then I started looking around to see where my friends are. I don't know about you, but I wasn't in the big group of friends. But I had certain groups that we were friends. And so that's the ones I sought out. That's the ones I wanted to be with at the prom. I wanted to, because I didn't have a date. I went by myself. But I wanted to be with my friends. So the second thing, that we're in the banqueting house of the Lord now. If you want to take a minute, just look around and see who your friends are. It's okay. I'm blessed. I don't have to look around. I'm looking out at every one of you. But listen, there's other people that are at that table. Let me name just a few of them, okay? First one that came to my mind is Abraham. Jesus said something about sitting down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom. We can't see them. But the book of Hebrews chapter 12, I believe it is, says that we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses, but we're also surrounded with the spirits of those that have gone on to be with the Lord. I was talking to Brother Bill Durrance, and he sends his love. The other day I was talking with him, and he said, I still remember the faces of different ones. And I've shared this with you before. Sister Katie Hill sat right over there. Brother Felton, Sister Mignon right back there. Brother Marvin, Sister Peggy back there on the back. Sister Doris over here on this side. I see the faces of so many, but I still by faith can see them today. I don't say I've gone out into left field with this, but there is a sense in my mind and in my heart that they're still here worshiping with us today. I'm not saying literally they are, but in my mind and in my heart they are. Abraham's here. Isaac. Jacob, Moses, Joshua, Gideon, even though Solomon's here, probably not all his concubines and wives, but he's here. He's here. Ruth and Esther, Ezra, Nehemiah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, even Malachi and Hosea. I think about Mephibosheth, the grandson of Saul, who was brought to David's table. And I mentioned Brother Charlie. He's here with us today too. But he talked about how that the tablecloth, the table of David's house, covered Mephibosheth's lame of his legs. Listen, whatever that we might have that we think would be taking away from. We talk about the blood that has washed us, but listen, we're also covered by it. And it has taken away all the blemishes and spots. God sees us as holy and pure and righteous. I don't feel that, but that doesn't matter. That's how God sees me. That's all that matters. I see Matthew, I see Mark, I see Luke, I see John, I see Paul, I see the man that was born blind. Who is it that opened your eyes? I don't know what his name is. I just know he put mud on my eyes and told me to go wash in the pool of Siloam. I did, and now I can see. Oh, how I love Jesus because he first loved me. The leper. Lord, if you will, I know you can make me whole. Jesus said, I will, and he touched him. Lazarus. Mary and Martha. For me, that's just some of them that are here. But also it cements the idea that who am I that I would be counted among that group? I'm the redeemed of God. I'm washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And I'm hesitant. I admit to you, I still remember the very first Sunday that I was here in 1986. And I was so intimidated. I still am to a degree. But I was so intimidated because I didn't know anything and I was trying to preach to you all that knew much more about the Bible than I did. But you're so kind and so loving, so patient. The love is in this house. It's always been here. But I'm hesitant to sit down and all of a sudden I hear this voice and I recognize it immediately. And the voice says, come, sit down. Now, whose voice could that be? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. I see him with his arms spread out. And I don't think I'm doing damage to Scripture when he says, I'm so glad to see you. I'm so glad to see you. I'm so glad you're here. Come unto me. Are you burdened down with things of life? Are things troubling you? Are things struggling? Are you struggling with things in life? Come here. Sit right beside me. I got a place reserved. And I'll tell you, there won't be any of this. Boy, that's my seat. There's room for everybody right beside Jesus. come sit beside me. So I sit down. And the next thing I see are these endless platters of that which feeds my soul. I'm not talking about the natural food now. I'm talking about that which goes to my heart. And let me share some of the things that I see on that table. Maybe you see them also, or maybe there's some things you see that I haven't seen. But the appetizer is brought out first. And the appetizer is a combination of mercy and grace. And there's more than ever can be devoured. There's mercy and grace, and it's new and it's fresh every single day. So when that plate comes by me, guess what I'm going to do? I can't remember if I shared this one with you or not. I probably have, but I will say it again. When we were in Lynchburg and we went to the tag youth camp, one night every week they would make homemade banana pudding. And there's a picture in one of the albums up there somewhere. They would bring me the serving spoon, which wasn't the big spoon. It was a serving spoon. And they would bring that and the lickings from the pudding, and I would just enjoy myself. And I wasn't ashamed either. Just bring it on. So when that mercy and grace comes by, give me that serving spoon. I want all of it I can get. I need all of it that I can get. And I'm thinking, oh, I'm full with this. And then all of a sudden, the next platter comes around and it's fellowship. I have fellowship with Jesus. I have fellowship with you. By faith, I have fellowship with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Nehemiah and Jeremiah and all of those. And you do too. So I take a big helping of fellowship. And there is no such thing as your eyes being bigger than your heart. Sometimes my eyes are bigger than my stomach when I get everything out on my plate. But I want fellowship too. I said I had fellowship with those individuals, but tops it all off, I have fellowship with Jesus. I'm sitting with Jesus. I'm sitting in the family of God. I'll go quickly with the rest of it. There's a hot dish comes around of guidance and direction, which I need every single day of my life. And then there's a dish of forgiveness. And I don't know about you, I think I do, but I'll just say I don't know about you, but there's days when that guidance and direction is right in front of me, and I say, I think I'll just pass on that. Maybe it's got onions in it, so I'm just going to pass on that. No, I don't like onions. But there's days that I don't follow that guidance and direction. And that's why I'm so glad that forgiveness is right behind it. And there's never a shortage on forgiveness either. There's the protection of His arms around us. There's a broken life that is rebuilt. There's a new way of looking at life. Legs that are not able to walk in the kingdom are suddenly strengthened and able to walk because of all of this that's on the table that's presented to us in the banqueting house. And a lot of these things, the world would say, I don't need that. Can I tell you, I do. I need it. I need it every day. I certainly need it on the Lord's Day. I need it on Wednesday nights to get me through them. Or get it over the hump day. I need it. I need this to be served to me. I need it every day whenever I try to do my personal devotions. But then the dessert comes around. I don't know about you, but I can be just as full as a tick. But when cake and pie is brought in, all of a sudden there's a whole new area right here that is not filled. So the dessert table platter is brought around, and it's grace. It's grace. You see, all of this other is purely and simply by the grace of God. And I hear Jesus say, come and dine. Come and eat. Take some home with you. There's plenty. You need a to-go box? I got it. Take it with you. Bring it out. Feed on it a little bit along all through the week. I told you a while ago that there's 30 minutes there that I didn't really want to get out of bed.
But right now, I don't want to leave. I want to stay in His presence. I want to stay where that I can feel Him and hear Him and know He's my Lord. He's my Savior. He's the one that died for me. It's in Him that I have all of these things. You know, we do the covered dish meal where everybody brings a dish. This banquet in the house, you didn't have to bring it. It's served. You can take it home with you, but you didn't have to bring it. It's all because of Jesus. So, usually we give thanks before that we eat. Can I stop now to give thanks? Heavenly Father, You are so good. Lord, I know that in my life there have been times that the things that I've talked about this morning just didn't hold much interest for me. And I ask You to forgive me for that. I need another helping of that forgiveness. I thank You for Your grace. I thank You for Your mercy. I thank You for Your love. Thank You for all that You are. And thank You, Lord, that this table in this banqueting house never runs out. It's always filled with Your goodness and Your love. So, Father, I pray that as we go to our separate homes now, that though we may be separated geographically and physically, that our hearts will always be mended together, blended together, that we can express our thanksgiving to You. In Jesus' name, and amen.